Welcome to the Devoted Podcast. My name is Amy, and I'm excited to bring you these conversations about loving God with all that we are, right where we are. We're all devoted to something, and God's desire is that He be the one we ultimately give our hearts to. Because it's only through this wholehearted devotion that we can truly live the life He created us for. Hey friend, welcome back to the Devoted Podcast. I can't believe that I am saying it, but this is the final official episode of season two. We've got some bonus episodes planned for you over the coming months, but today does wrap up our series on devoted disciplines, and we really hope that these conversations have helped you understand what it is and what it looks like to steward this desire that we have to love God well. And as we wrap up this series, we're going to take a look at the topic of rest. We want to remind you that your journey with God is not a race. It is a relationship that is to be enjoyed and savored, and it's a relationship where He cares deeply about your wholeness. So let's lean in for one final conversation. Hi friends, welcome to today's episode on the podcast. I am so excited to be talking to my old slash new friend, Anna Kettle, who is an author, a speaker, a podcaster, and many other things. Welcome, Anna. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. And thanks for having me on your podcast, Amy. So nice to connect.
It is so nice. Anna and I both launched our first book babies within about a day of each other, I think.
Yeah, they were really close together, weren't they?
Very close together, which is kind of how we connected through writing. And we've known each other on Instagram for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and it is just awesome to actually get to have a conversation with you today. Before we dive in though, do you want to just let people know a little bit about who you are and what you're up to in this season of your life?
Yeah, sure. So I am a mother of one. So I have a little boy, he's seven, Ben, and I live in Liverpool, UK with my husband, Andy. And we both work in marketing and PR. So he's a music promoter. Runs his own company, and I work in the National Health System here in the UK, work in marketing and communications in my day job. And then also I'm quite involved in ministry in my church. So we run an online church that kind of launched during COVID.
Awesome.
Called Crowd Church. So we do weekly live streams on a Sunday evening through that, and a podcast midweek. And I also have been writing and blogging for a few years. Obviously, being a marketer and a PR person by background, writing's always been my bag, but it's really just been in the sort of last 5 to 10 years that I've kind of been compassionate about using that as a form of ministry and using it to share some of my own faith journey and personal story as well. So I'm living doing that, and yeah, that's kind of where I am at the moment, and kind of keeps me busy. Yeah,
it sounds like it does. And as part of your writing journey, you wrote a book on rest called Sand Between My Toes. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that and what prompted you to want to write on that particular topic?
Yeah, sure. So Sand Between Your Toes is a devotional book on learning to rest in God. It came out in spring 2020, just as we were going into COVID lockdown, the first COVID lockdown in the UK. So it seemed very timely because the world was kind of stopping as it launched.
Yeah, we were all forced to
rest, and also kind of realizing how busy our lives were before we stopped and paused. So it felt quite timely, but it was actually the book that I wrote a few years earlier, and it was a book I wrote because I needed it, not because I kind of saw myself as some kind of expert on rest.
Yeah.
So it came about during a season of real overwhelm and busyness in my life. And it was actually, I started writing it after I'd become a mother of my little boy. And basically what happened was I was already busy. I had a full life, ministry, full-time work, all the things. And then I just kind of thought I'd just kind of squeeze motherhood into that bag as well, you know, without taking anything
out.
Oh,
yeah, just, how naive we are at the beginning. Nothing's going to change. We're just adding this little thing in.
Exactly. And obviously, anyone who's ever been a mother, and you'll know this, Amy, is that that is not the reality of being a mum. It's so much more involved than that. And so, but, you know, for that first season of life, in new motherhood, I thought I could do it all, and I tried to do it all, and I quite quickly just became overwhelmed. And it was really when I got off maternity leave and went back to work and just realized quite quickly that I was overstretched and overwhelmed, and kind of ended up giving the worst of myself to those I cared about the most, you know, so i.e. the people in my own house. And I was like short, snappy, you know, struggling to kind of keep all the balls up in the air, and really just wasn't the best version of myself at all. And that was the time that I kind of realized something needs to change, and I need to work out a different way of living that's going to be more sustainable. And so I began to wrestle with those questions of what does rest really look like in my everyday life, and kind of what does it mean to rest in God. And I really spent a season of digging deep into scripture and trying to look at kind of how do we rest in this kind of busy modern world that we live in, where women are expected to work and mum and do all the things. And that's really where the book grew out of. And the devotional is kind of an edit of a whole load of blogs that I wrote on that theme during that season of my life. So yeah, it's some of that learning and that lived experience from that season.
So it's really you offering back to us what God taught you as you wrestled with your own overwhelm and exhaustion.
That's right. And so it's certainly not kind of, I didn't present myself as like the polished, finished kind of product, but more as somebody who's learning just like everyone else.
Yes. And as I confessed to you before we started this conversation, I feel like it's very ironic in this busy season of my own life that I'm having a conversation about rest. But like you, it's like I've realized how important it is that we learn to practice rest.
Yeah, and this is the thing I always say, like people that say they need rest, you know, that's everyone. Everybody needs to get better at this. Everyone needs to learn this. And anyone who's saying they've got it sorted and they've got it down is probably not being real with themselves or real with you. Like I just think this is something that we're all having to learn in sort of our modern world. I don't think many people are good at this, but that's why we're here. We all want to get better, right?
Yeah. And I think the thing is too, our rhythms change as well. Like you move into a different stage of parenting or a different job, and the rhythms that were restful and worked in one season, they don't work in another. And so you have to learn again, okay, well, actually, what does rest look like for me now? Like right now in this particular season, working as an editor, I don't find reading that relaxing. It used to be like my go-to to unwind, but it's like my brain switches on and sees how I would do things differently now when I open a book. And so I'm having to learn at the moment, actually, what does it mean for me to rest in this season? What refuels me?
Yeah, that's so interesting.
But we do often reduce rest to self-care, to things like I took a bit of time for myself and I read, or I went for a walk, or I had a facial, or whatever it is that feels like we are stopping in our world. But rest is so much deeper than that for us as believers. As you've gone on this journey of learning about rest, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, that's so interesting that you say that, because I often say this over and over in interviews, actually, that rest is a heart state first. So I think rest starts with a heart. It's not just something that we do. So, of course, soul care and different aspects of soul care might be part of that. But if we approach rest like it's just another thing we do, or if we start with the what, not the why, then we're kind of missing the point. So I always say we need to start with the why. Why rest? Why do we do it? And what's the motivation? And that, you know, it's about the heart state first, not the execution. Otherwise, kind of we're just adding more stuff like, oh, well, I need to do more soul care. I need to go to the gym. I need to look after myself better. And it just actually ends up being adding more into the diary rather than actually dealing with the heart issues and the sort of, you know, the kind of core problem behind our busyness. So for me, I always say that rest is about building a habit of trust and dependence on God in our lives. You know, so much of our busyness, well, certainly mine anyway, and I think this is probably true for a lot of people, so much of our over busyness and burnout is because we're buying into the lies that we need to do more and be more, and we're buying into the lies of this always on hard work, hustle for what you need kind of culture that we all live in now. And actually rest is a decision first and foremost to lean into God and to trust him and to depend on him. And so, you know, when you look at scripture and you look at kind of the teaching on Sabbath and, you know, the idea to work hard for 6 days and then pause and rest for one day, you know, to me, that so clearly speaks of a way of being as humans, where it's about working hard, do what you can, serve God, serve others, and then stop and trust and pause and be with God and to trust him to do what you can't. And for me, that's a real shift in like heart state before I actually think about, well, how does rest look in my own life and how do I actually begin to rest? And that's important to unpackage. But I think it's about dealing with a heart issue first. You know, the why am I so busy and what am I so busy for? You know, what's motivating this kind of striving and busyness in my life? And dealing with some of that, and then it's so much easier to rest in a way that's meaningful.
I think you're on the money there, because I can go through the motions of rest. I can, from the outside looking in, it can look like, you know, I went to church in the morning and I came home and I went for a walk along the beach and I read a book, and it can look like I have rested. But if on the inside, all I'm thinking is, but I should be doing this, I should be doing this. Mm. Oh gosh, I've got so much to do. I forgot about that. I'm actually not at rest, even if it looks like I'm ticking that box. And for me, learning to rest, because even though the season has been really busy, there's been a spirit of rest to it for me, because like you, I've had to go on this journey of learning, do I trust God to fill the gaps that I can't? Mm. Do I trust that I've given my best and he's more than able to pick up where I've left off? And that has been a journey for me. But I love how you've defined rest for us, that it's a heart posture of trust and dependence on God. And as you've, I guess, learned to outwork that heart state and to cultivate that heart state in your life, how has it impacted on your relationship with God?
Well, I think it's massively impacted on my relationship with God, because I'm leaning into him and I'm trusting him to do what I can't now. Whereas I think before that, I mean, I'm an Enneagram 3, if you know the Enneagram, it's the kind of like doer, achiever type of personality. And that's how I'm wired by nature. It's how God's made me. But I think a downside of that is that I can very quickly move into a place of striving and activity for activity's sake. So like you say, it's very easy to look like you're resting and doing rest, but actually you're not mentally rested. You're not, you know, it's almost like a pseudo rest. And so for me, it's been everything, because it's actually learning that, to kind of genuinely like lean into God and to trust him in a way that, even though I've been a Christian pretty much all my life, it's not just something that's come natural and been easy for me. And actually thinking about this in a new way has really helped with that.
So we've talked briefly about this busyness, and, you know, I think a lot of us, even if we're not necessarily wired to achieve, the culture demands us to achieve. Even one of my kids said to me the other day, like, why do they have to test us all the time at school? And why do we have so many assignments and their learning is measured by what they're achieving and what they're producing? And so right from a young age, culturally, we absorb this message that success is related to our achieving and our productivity. And so busyness does become just normal to us. And that's obviously one of the reasons that we struggle so much to slow down. But as you've wrestled with this for yourself, and as you've come alongside other women who are overwhelmed, why else do you think we struggle so much to slow down and create space for rest in our lives? And our hearts, I should add.
Well, I think there's a few reasons, really. I I think you're absolutely right. It is really countercultural in our modern world. You know, we don't know how to rest well as a society anymore. It's not something we're taught. You know, culturally, when you look at things, even in our lifetime, you know, really, certainly in the UK, and I think most of the Western society has dropped this idea of a Sabbath on Sunday. So now shops are open 7 days a week. And we've also moved into more of a digital age, haven't we, where everything's open 24/7. So I can do the shopping online at 9 p.m. on a Sunday night. I can do my bank statements. You can pretty much do anything. You can sort out your home insurance. You know, nothing is fixed to kind of 9 to 5 now or when places are open. Like, there's no open and close time. You can pick up work emails at 11 at night if you so wish.
I was going to say, you know, I'm so bad at that.
Yeah, we all are. And I think, you know, technology is a gift, but it's also can be a curse if we don't use it right. And as far as it really has meant that we have to have better boundaries ourselves, because those physical boundaries of between work and home life have really reduced. And I think COVID and working from home, that culture shift towards more working from home, which we talked about earlier, is that's only increased it as well. That's kind of blurring of like work life and home life. And so all that cultural shift that's happened in our lifetime alone is important. And that's really key. But I think as well, if we're totally honest and we look closer to home, it's also about us as individuals. Like, sometimes it's just easier to keep going, isn't it? Than to really pause and ask the hard questions. And I certainly know this was my thing for a long time. Like, for a long time, I knew I was overstretched and not being my best self. And yet it was kind of easier just to keep going and not rock the boat and to really stop and ask those hard questions of myself. Like, why am I so busy? And what am I believing about God and myself as I rush around in my life? Mm. You know, what lies am I actually believing? And so sometimes I think there's that. And then I also think in Christian culture, there's this kind of lean towards doing as well sometimes. So, you know, there's loads of great teaching about, you know, serving God and this, you know, and making a difference in our world. And of course, that's stuff we're passionate about as Christians. We want to make a mark. We want to serve God well, and we want to love other people well. And all of that's good stuff. But I think it can cross over into overbusyness and into striving if we're not careful.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to argue with, isn't it, when there's so much need around us and in our world. You know, there's so many good things we could be doing with our time. There's so many ways we could serve God and we could serve people and different ministries and different organizations and different projects, and all of it looks good, and we can just keep saying yes because there's so much need around us. And I think it takes real discipline actually to say, oh, I'm going to do this and this because I think these are the two things God's, or maybe this is the one thing God's calling me to in this season, and this will be my focus. I think it's really easy, and I think as Christian women we can be really bad at this, you know, to just keep saying yes because we see a need and because we don't want to disappoint people, and we worry that if we don't do it, who will? But actually, are we being true to what God's calling us to do in this season and what he's giving to us? And like you said earlier, I think, Amy, it's like what God's calling us to and what's right for one season might not be right for the next one.
Yeah.
So it's about stopping as well. And some of that pause is about saying to God, God, what in this list of stuff that I've got going on in my life is actually what you're calling me to in this season?
Yeah.
What's important, and what's important now, and what's maybe for a different season, and actually what's great but not actually for me at all, you know, because it's not all on our shoulders, is it? Like,
no. And I think this is the thing, when we're leaning into God about what are you asking me to do, there's grace on those things, and so you can actually have a really full schedule and be rested when that schedule is full of the things that God is asking you to do, versus you've added all these things and God's like, hang on a sec, Amy, like, I never asked you to pick those things up and you're exhausted, you're carrying things I never intended you to be carrying right now. But you're so right. If we don't make time to pause and to actually ask God those things, we're going to end up with these schedules that actually don't reflect the life he is asking us to. And so I've learned, and I keep having to learn, it's about obedience. It's about what are you asking me to do? And I have to trust that what you're asking me to say no to, you're actually, you've got somebody else in mind who is going to be able to step into that. And I learned very quickly when I was in ministry and I was trying to fill all the gaps on the roster, and I was filling it by filling it myself. And God actually challenged me, just like with something as simple as organizing the church rosters. Like, if you keep saying, yes, you'll do it, there's not a gap for somebody else to see a need and to rise and do what I'm calling them to do, because they don't think they're needed. And so sometimes our own busyness is also not only exhausting us, it means we're not creating space for others as well. So that was...
Yeah, that's such a good point. such a good point, because, you know, God doesn't expect us to be, you know, we're not, he's not calling us to be superheroes and to fix the whole world, is he? He's calling us to be true to what he's asking of us. And there are a lot of people in the world that God can use. It's, you know, he doesn't need us to do it all, does he?
And,
it reminds me of that scripture from like Matthew 28, where, you know, it talks about how his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
Yeah.
And we so easily forget that, don't we? Particularly in Christian ministry.
Yeah, and I think for me, that's what I've really found, is when I'm doing what he's asking me to do, even though it might be hard, there's a grace to it. And that grace just isn't there when I'm deciding for myself what I need to do.
Yeah, that's so true.
But I love what you said about, you know, sometimes pausing's actually uncomfortable. It requires us to confront things about ourselves, to address lies that we've believed, and even to wrestle with what we believe about God. I actually wrote a Bible study years ago called Selah Moments, about the Selah pauses in the psalm. And when I first set out to write it, I thought, oh, this will be like a really like nice Bible study to write in the Psalms, exploring where the psalmists invite us to pause. And I very quickly discovered that they didn't stop and pause in the nice parts of the psalm. They stopped and paused where I wanted to rush past, where I wanted to skim over, because they were places of wrestling. They were places sometimes of injustice. Mm. They were places that were confronting and messy. And I was like, I don't want to stop there. I want to get to the nice part where God says something like, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and I'll give you the desires of your heart. I want to pause on that. I don't want to pause on all the armies that are besieging me. but it really taught me something, that we do avoid slowing down. We do avoid pausing, because sometimes it's just uncomfortable. What have you learned as you've been willing to actually get stuck into some of those uncomfortable places in your own life?
I love that. First of all, I haven't really looked at the Selah points in the Psalms, and I definitely need a copy of that Bible study. That is so interesting to me. That is such an interesting area to look at. I think that's fascinating.
I actually got stuck writing it. I had a hissy fit after the first week because I was like, this isn't nice. This isn't relaxing. Like,
yeah,
this is hard. You're asking me hard questions, God.
But I think you're right, and it is hard. But on the other side of that hard, like you say, is a grace where there's a lightness and there's a confidence and an easiness to knowing, God, this is what you've called me to, this is what you're asking of me in this season, and this is what I'm going to prioritize, and all the other stuff I can just let it slide. I don't need to worry about it, and anyway I can trust you that I do my bit, but it's not all on my shoulders. Like, I turn up, I do what you've asked me to do, I make myself available, I share what you put in my heart, I love that person you put in front of me, do my bit, and then I trust you with the outcomes.
Yeah.
Rather than put it all on my shoulders. And I think that's it, isn't it? It's so much of it is about, we think it's all on us, and it's never been all on us. You know, God doesn't really need us, does he? Like, to serve his purposes in this world. He's kind and compassionate and gracious enough to involve us.
Yeah.
And to partner with us, but he doesn't need us. And he certainly is more than capable of, you know, making his purposes come to fruition without us. And I think, so it's actually his grace that he chooses to work with us. And, you know, once we realise that, the work should be a joy.
Yeah, because it's partnership, isn't it? It's not exactly. all on us. It's like I get to do this with God, and actually he's the one who's carrying the heavy load, and I just get to keep up with what he's doing.
That's it. And it's, you know, that doesn't mean that work's all going to be easy and that it's all going to be a breeze. There will be hard points in it, but like there is an underlining lightness in being able to do it and not feeling like it's all on you.
But we do as women often feel like it is all on us, isn't it? Like, I mean, I joke, you know, when I go away for the weekend, like I make sure the shopping's done, that there's a meal plan, that everybody's transportation is taken care of. You know, like I dot every I and cross every T. My husband goes away for the weekend. He packs a suitcase and off he goes.
Yeah, I think most husbands are similar.
Yeah, but my girls were saying to me over the table after I was away for a weekend, they were like, but you do know if you hadn't done all that stuff, like we still would have eaten. We still would have got where we needed to go. And I was like, yeah, I know, like, actually you guys are all capable and your dad is a very capable man. But for some reason, as women, we've taken on board this lie, like, that we can't stop, that we can't delegate, that it all depends on us. How do we practically start to pursue rest when maybe that's how we feel, but sometimes we also do find ourselves in seasons and circumstances that it is actually really hard to get a break in. Maybe we're a caregiver or there's a crisis going on or we're facing lack and we've got to work a bit extra to try and meet ends meet, and it's just we feel like this constant juggle. And intellectually, like, we know that we should trust God and we know that he's our provider and we should depend on him. But how do we start to translate some of that into actually I live like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, isn't it? It's a letting go of control. And I'm still learning that. I think I'll be learning this lesson my whole life.
Hands up over here too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, I've certainly made steps forward in it and I've certainly got a lot to learn as well still. But a few key principles really for me in sort of, you know, translating some of this from heart to, okay, so what does this practically look like in my life? Where firstly, like, just thinking, start small. So when it comes to like rest and resting in God, start, you know, we don't have to wait for like a 2-week summer holiday or rework our whole lives or take a 6-month sabbatical. You know, we can start small and start where we are. You know, God loves it when we just start somewhere. And so the small changes really count. You know, I'm going to take 10 minutes before I start work to just spend some time in God's word and pray. Yeah. Or I'm going to take 5 minutes, you know, after I put the kids to bed and, you know, just take some time of peace and quiet for me or whatever that, those small shifts look like that actually allow you to be still and to just practice rest practically.
I love that. I did a course with Priscilla Shire years ago called Breathe, and she called it cultivating Sabbath margin. And she talked about a really similar idea. Like, it's actually like, it's great if you have a whole day, you know, that we're meant to practice Sabbath on the Sunday, but she's like, if you're actually also not cultivating Sabbath margin in the day to day, you're going to get to Sunday or whatever day you've set aside as your day of rest, and you're going to be utterly shattered. And she made a similar encouragement to just start carving out pockets of Sabbath margin in your day. And I love that encouragement to find 5 minutes, find 10 minutes and build a rhythm around that that invites you to connect with God and invites you to slow down and to just breathe.
Yeah. And I think this kind of brings me on to my other point, which is like that it's also, and I think you alluded to this earlier, Amy, but it's about working out what's restful for you too.
Yeah.
So quite often in our culture, we think of rest as doing nothing, like switching off, watching entertainment. you know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, like, you know, binging on Netflix for a few hours once in a while. Like, we all do it sometimes. But, you know, real rest is not about being doing nothing. It's about stopping productivity and focusing on what's life-giving and energizing for your soul, really. And so for some people, like you say, in some seasons that could be reading a good book. And for other people, that might be going for a run or having a meal with friends. And so much of this is about what's restful to you is actually about the way you're wired and about how your season looks. But probably what rest isn't quite often is what we think it is, which is doing nothing. So when I say doing nothing, what I actually mean is sitting on my couch, Netflix playing, scrolling through social media, you know. And it's not rest, because although I'm physically still, my mind is still whirling. I'm like sorting out the shopping, I'm half listening to my husband, you know, I've got the TV on, like there's stuff going on and my mind is active. And actually what's really rest is also, you know, it's not just physical rest, it's sometimes it's about mental rest. So actually going for a run might actually be, or going for a swim or something might actually be the thing that allows you to mentally stop and process your thoughts more than, you know, kind of that sort of physical stillness. And because it actually allows you to disconnect from all of those devices and distractions. And I think we don't always give ourselves much mental margin in our everyday lives as well anymore. And that's such an important part of rest. But I really think it's about thinking about you and how you're wired and what's restful to you. And one person's rest is another person's busyness, you know. Like for me, I'm an extrovert, so time with friends is so energizing for my soul. Good friends, like chatting over a meal, that to me is life. But for someone else, that could be incredibly tiring. It's not like it's, and this is why I don't ever talk plans or strategies for rest, because I think it's different for each of us, and it's different for us in different seasons as well. So it really is about working out what's restful for you. And doing more of that and scheduling more of that in and planning to do more of it, rather than just allowing, you know, kind of leaving it till, like, it's so easy to like leave it until we've got everything done and then just squeeze it into the cracks. But I think it's so much better.
Or you get everything done and you fall down and you're like, I can't
and you're
do
too
anything.
Tired to do it, exactly. And so then you
too
just
tired to rest.
Pseudo rest, don't you? And like lying on your couch watching Netflix. You know, and I'm not dissing Netflix, but, you know, it's like realizing that actually if you want to put some of those healthy practices in, you need to diary them in almost and plan them in, just the same as you plan in busy time. So you plan in work and other family activities, and then also plan in rest, box it off, you know, guard that time preciously. And that's something that's really helped me, because if I left it to kind of waiting till everything's done, and it just wouldn't happen. It's the first thing to fall off my radar. I've had to be really intentional.
I love that you have talked about identifying what's restful for us and what's restful in our season. And, you know, we could add to that as we're talking about the heart posture of rest, like how you connect with God. You know, like for some of us, we feel closest to God when we're in the scriptures. For others, it's in nature. For some, it's worship music. For some, it's when they're painting. You know, like also being intentional about those patterns and making sure that we've got a good balance in our spiritual practices that actually connect our heart to God's and enable us to experience Him and trust Him. I went to a women's conference, I think it might have even been like pre-children. So we're talking probably about 17 years ago. And you know it's good when 17 years later you actually still very clearly remember it.
Definitely.
And the woman was talking about guarding our hearts and how caring for our hearts, like rest, will look really different for each of us. And she gave us a really practical activity to do. And she said, make a list of what makes you feel good. And she said, good is something that you could incorporate on a daily basis. Like it might be the mug that you have your coffee in or the music that you play. Like it could be the perfume that you wear. Something that is really easy for you to integrate into your daily rhythms on a daily basis. It's achievable and it's sustainable. Then she said, make a list of the things that make you feel great. Now, these things might require a bit more time or a little bit more money, a little bit more effort. So maybe it's something that you do weekly or fortnightly, like maybe going, as you said, for a coffee with a friend or a walk or a run or, you know, whatever it is, make your list of your greats. And then she had your ecstatic list, and that was like even more time and even more money. And so it might have been things like a facial, or it might have been going to a conference or getting away for a weekend, something like that, that maybe you could do quarterly or even biannually. And she really encouraged us to be very intentional with that list about weaving those good, great, and ecstatic rhythms into our lives. And I found it so valuable, firstly, for identifying, well, actually, what makes me feel those things, but also because it was realistic. Like, I can't go and have a facial every day, even if I'd quite like to. But actually, I can put some jazz music on while I'm cooking dinner, and that can totally transform how I feel about doing something that has to be done at the end of the day when I'm tired and maybe I'd rather just Netflix binge. So that for me was a really helpful exercise that I've often come back to in different seasons when I've felt that kind of frazzled, empty, nothing to pour out of. Actually, am I doing the things that feed my soul, that connect my heart to God's, that are unique to how he's wired me?
Yeah, I love that. That is so simple and practical to remember, isn't it? So it's like, what makes you feel good, great, and ecstatic? Like, I love that. It's such a
simple. And I loved that she was realistic. You know, like, we can't do all these ecstatic things all the time, but we need some things to look forward to. And if we know, like you said, that they're in the calendar, that we've been intentional about them, the anticipation is also part of the joy that they then bring to us.
Yeah, I love that.
So if you had a woman who was sitting in front of you and she was utterly exhausted and overwhelmed, and she was saying to you, I just can't stop. I hear all these things that you're saying, but you don't know my life. You don't know how hard this is for me. What would be the one thing that you would want to say to her today?
I suppose, first of all, I would offer sympathy and grace because, gosh, haven't we all been in that place?
Yeah.
And don't we all find ourselves back there again and again?
Yeah.
So first of all, no judgment, you know, just a lot of grace and, you know, digital hugs. but aside from that, I would just say, you know, the best single piece of advice I can give really is take it to God, you know. Mm-hmm. God cares for us. And he says his burden's easy and light, and, you know, he cares about how we feel. He cares that when we're overwhelmed, and that's not the fullness of life he's got for us. Mm. So take it to him and ask him to show you. Like, you know, it always starts in conversation with God, I think. And, you know, ask him to show you what you need to hold on to and what you need to let go, what you might need to prioritize. You know, and then just really focus in on those things that God's got for you. And yeah, I think so much of it is about being scared to say no or to let things go. And I just think that conversation with God about priorities and focus and how we spend our time is where it all begins, really.
Yeah.
But there's so much grace within that, you know, there's no judgment. I don't think God's wagging his finger at us saying, oh, well, look at how badly you're managing your time, or look at how much striving you've got into. It's not that. It's, you know, whenever I've had these conversations with God, it's always a grace and a lightness to it. And a kind of like, Anna, just lay some of this stuff down.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's God's heart, because he loves us as women.
And I'm thinking too, even that verse that you've been referring to, it starts by Jesus saying, come, come to me, all who are weary. And God is such an invitational father. And like you, like often I've held back because I'm not that up with the Enneagram, but I'm a type one, I'm a reformer, perfectionist, which I really don't like the fact that it has the word perfectionist in it because I'm trying not to be a perfectionist. Yeah. So I react to that term, but it means that I am often very, very hard on myself. And so I expect to get that same hardness from God sometimes. Mm. And so I stay away because I'm already condemning myself enough. I'm like, I don't need anybody else to tell me that I'm not doing it right. But yeah. That's never what I encounter when I finally get over myself and come into the Father's presence. It's exactly what you said. It's that compassion. It's that grace. It's the tenderness that he cares so deeply for our hearts, and he cares so deeply for our wholeness and our freedom. And so he's just saying, come, come to me. And I love that that is the one piece of advice that you would give to all of us who feel like it's a bit much at the moment, because I think most people would be able to put their hands up at some point in time and say, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, definitely. It is that, isn't it? It's the invitation to come and just sit at the feet of Jesus. You know, I always think of the story of Martha and Mary, and, you know, just to stop what you're doing and sit at the feet of Jesus. That's always the invitation. So I think that's always the invite that God is stretching out to us.
And it's such a beautiful invitation and such a beautiful place for us to wrap up this conversation on, that rest ultimately is about us coming to Jesus and sitting and receiving and trusting that he has enough for the places that we've not got enough left for. As you've gone on this journey and continue to be on this journey of practicing rest and cultivating a heart that says, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to depend on you, God, is there a verse that has particularly encouraged you that you would like to leave with us today?
Yeah, well, I think the one that I always come back to over and over is kind of almost like a mantra that I repeat to myself on a daily basis because I need it all the time, the reminder. But it's basically, it's Psalm 46:10, and it's be still and know that I am God. And yeah. I repeat this to myself about a billion times a day. Like, Anna, you're getting worked up, you're getting stressed, you know, just be still for a moment. And I'm kind of speaking into my own heart, like to my soul, like, be still, Anna, be still and know that I'm God. Just know God's presence with you in that moment. Just pause. And it's those kind of small moments of pause in my day when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm stressed, when I'm had enough, you know, when I'm losing it as, you know, I'm losing patience with my son, or, you know, something's just winding me up at work or whatever it is. In those small moments, just taking a second of pause and just saying, you know, just be still my heart, be still my soul, and just remember that God is here and God is present, and that he is God and he's in control and he's got you. And it's just that simple kind of practice that I'm trying to do more and more, those small moments of pause. And that Bible verse just sits so neatly with that, like, yeah, just that momentary reminder of God's presence with you, and that he's got it and he's God, and you don't have to have all the control and all the answers and all the, you know, you don't have to have it all covered because he's there. And that sometimes is just that moment of stillness.
It's almost like a breath prayer, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You're just taking a moment to breathe in the stillness and to exhale the truth that, like you said, he is God and he's still on his throne and he's not fussed by the things that are stressing us out. He's got this. He has a plan, and he will see us through to the other side.
Yeah, and it's just such a peace in pausing and remembering that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your journey with us and encouraging us all to come and to receive God's invitation to depend on him and to not carry it all ourselves. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
So best place to find me really is on my website, which is annakettle.com, really simple. And all my social feeds are on there. You can sign up to my monthly newsletter if you want to kind of keep in touch a bit more. I also hang out on Instagram a lot, where I'm also Anna Kettle Writes. But you can find all of my feeds all on the website.
And they can also download some of your devotions from your book and check that out there as well, can't they?
Yeah, there's a free download button, so you can get the first kind of section of my devotional for free. downloaded and sent emailed straight to you from the website. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's a great place to start as you pursue rest. Oh, well, thanks again for joining me today, Anna. It has been such a pleasure to have this conversation with you.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. It's been great chatting.
We want to say a huge thank you for joining us for season 2 of the podcast. We hope that these conversations have challenged you, inspired you, and given you some fresh ideas to enrich and deepen your relationship with the Lord. But we would love to keep growing with you because we know that faith is best outworked in community. So we want to invite you to check out our website, thedevotedcollective.org. You'll find there information about the resources, but most importantly, the community that we can offer you. As we close out this season, I want to prayerfully read over you Psalm 23 in the Japanese translation. It says this: "The Lord is my pace setter, I shall not rush. He makes me stop and rest for quiet intervals. He provides me with images of stillness which restore my serenity. He leads me in ways of efficiency through calmness of mind, and his guidance is peace. Even though I have a great many things to accomplish each day, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His timelessness, his all importance will keep me in balance. He prepares refreshment and renewal in the midst of my activity. By anointing my mind with his oils of tranquility, my cup of joyous energy overflows. Surely harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruits of my hours, for I shall walk in the pace of my Lord and dwell in his house forever." And friend, this is our prayer for you, that the Lord would be your pace setter, that you would not rush through your life, but you would make space to simply be with him and to let him direct and determine your paths. We pray that today's conversation has encouraged you to keep loving God with all that you are, right where you are.